Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We invite you to come and worship with us Sundays 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.org. That address again, www.lindenurc.org. Giving to every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and you know we're thankful to bring this radio broadcast to you in the Pacific Northwest. Just to update you a little bit on Abounding Grace Radio, we have expanded the program. So we are airing Abounding Grace now in Phoenix, Arizona, and daily in San Diego, California. So this has been a wonderful development for Abounding Grace Radio. We appreciate your care and that you write to us. We really do want to hear from you. We want to keep the radio broadcast coming to you in the Pacific Northwest. So let us know how these radio broadcasts are touching you. And if you would love to pray and support us, we would be very grateful for anything that we receive from you. I want to thank all of you for your prayers and support so far. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264, or go to our website at agradio.org. Well, you know, on Fridays, we have started a sort of sub-series here on what we believe as Christians. And I've been trying to emphasize the importance of having a confession of faith, knowing what you believe and why you believe it. Most churches today will have up on their website a statement of what they believe. And anytime you're thinking about attending a church, that's the first thing you should look at. What does a church believe? Where does it stand on its particular confession of faith? Does it honor it? Today, my great concern sometimes is not just what is said, it's what's not said. We've so scraped away at the core of the Christian faith, nothing is really remaining today. So you want to know what a church believes and why it believes it. And I have been going through a document that Protestants have believed and confessed for the last 400 years that summarizes for us the Christian faith. It's called the Heidelberg Catechism, written in 1563. It was a wonderful catechism that spread throughout Europe to teach people the basics of the Christian faith. Remember, for years in Roman Catholicism, you didn't have a Bible. It was all in Latin. Only the priests could read it. The lay people could not even have a Bible. And when the Reformation started putting the Bible into people's hands and translating it into their languages, they understood that what was needed were statements of faith. And so they produced these. And so really, it's a tragedy that we hear today, oh, no creed but Christ. By the way, that's a creed. What you confess, what you say is your creed. So we're studying the Heidelberg, and we've come to section 3. It's given in 52 Lord's days for each day, week of the year to study through in the course of a year the basics of the Christian doctrine. So we're in this section on sin. And here is question 6 of the Heidelberg. Did God create man so wicked and perverse? No. God created man good and after his own image, that is, in righteousness and true holiness, that he might rightly know God is creator, heartily love him, and live with him in eternal blessedness to praise and glorify him. This is a really important question. You know, look at the mess we're in today. Look at the sadness all around us. Look at the misery. Look at the turbulence of the nations. I had a friend who once said this to me. He said, you know, I'll believe in God if you can tell me why this God who is all powerful, if he's so strong and powerful, did he not stop this great mess that we're in? Then I'll believe. Well, I gave him the answer. He just didn't like it. The Heidelberg Catechism is absolutely correct. What does Scripture say? at the beginning, when God made everything of this world, God said something very powerfully and very clearly. After he had made it, what does Genesis tell us? And indeed, it was very good. So whatever happened to creation was not God's fault. Scripture tells us very plainly that God made things good. God created them good. He made mankind in his own image, that is, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, this is going to have a great effect on how we understand things today. You know, when every time there's an awful thing that happens in the world and there's a great natural catastrophe or some evil under the sun, what is the first thing that people shoot out the lip at God and say? Well, how could a good God allow this to happen? Just common lingo today. Or where was God in this tsunami? Where was God? Now, the question is does good things, do good things happen to good people, or do bad things happen to good people, or do bad things happen to bad people? I mean, we got to kind of put this together, don't we? Bad things don't happen to good people. Bad things happen to bad people. Scriptures lay the blame for our misery on our own sin. We chose this. So the question, anytime we see some sort of sorrow or some sort of tragedy under the sun, when we're tempted to blame God, maybe we need to look at the plank in our own eye, right? We need to look at who caused this mess, not the Lord. Scriptures are very clear on that. In fact, the question should be, why has God, in his long suffering, not destroyed this wicked world now? Things are unraveling all around us, and that should be the question. Why has God been so long suffering and allowing things to continue? He's actually restrained sin. Romans 1 tells us that the wrath of God is revealed when he turns people over and gives them over to the things that they want to do. So that's what this question is making very clear for us. God is just. God created us good. God created us in his own image, in true righteousness and holiness. And in that original state in the Garden of Eden, when God created man, what was the intent? What was the purpose? What did man enjoy in that original state? Well, you'll notice what the Heidelberg says, that God created man good after his own image in true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know God as creator, heartily love him, and live with him in eternal blessedness. That is an amazing thing, isn't it? That God created us that we would know him, that we would love him, that we would enjoy him. That's how good he is. That's what he gave us. That's what in Adam we all had. But what happened? Well, that's the next question and answer in question 7. Here's question 7. Where then does this depraved nature of man come from? Answer, from the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise, whereby our nature became so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. So where did this mess come from? If God didn't do it, where did it come from? The fall came when Adam and Eve directly disobeyed God, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God commanded them not to eat, and plunged us all into sin. Adam was a representative of the whole human race. We have this principle of representation even in our governments today. Whatever Adam did, he represented all the human race, so that when he sinned, his sin was imputed to our accounts. Now, what does that mean? Dear listener, consequence, we're all born in it. Today we have this awful idea out there that, you know, sin, there's an age of accountability, and sin comes about when we're old enough to understand it. That is flat out against the Bible. David said, "Surely I was conceived in sin. I was born in sin, and sin my mother conceived me." There was the great debate in the early church about this with Augustine and Pelagius. And Pelagius taught the whole age of accountability thing and sin by imitation and these sort of things. And Augustine said, well, if that's the case, then why can children die? It's proof. It's proof. If the wages of sin is death, if they weren't accountable, they would be unable to die. And the point is that we're all in this misery. We have original sin that we are born with in Adam. And then throughout the course of our life, we're accumulating sin. So it's not a good situation here, is it? We've chosen this. We've rebelled against God. We wanted this. And what has happened? We are all plunged into it from conception on. Now, what is then is the next question? Well, are we so far depraved that we are wholly unapt to do any good and prone toward all evil? And the answer? Yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. Important point, isn't it? Are we so far gone in our sin that we are totally unable to do any good and deliver ourselves? And the answer is yes. Our sin has so corrupted our nature. We are so far in sin, it extends to every part of who we are that we cannot do any saving good before God. There's nothing we could do enough to save us from our misery. Well, that leads to the question, then what do we need? Now, anyone who would say that these old creeds and confessions are dry just hasn't read them. Isn't it wonderful to read in the Heidelberg here that we're so far gone that we're unable to do any good unless we are born again by the Spirit of God? What has to happen? Well, this is what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need a whole new principle of life planted in you, Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, well, do I need to go and get back in my mother's womb? Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you will not enter the kingdom. Jesus wasn't telling Nicodemus to do anything. He couldn't. That was the whole point. Nicodemus knew whatever Jesus was saying, he couldn't do. Jesus was saying, my Holy Spirit has to come into your black, sinful heart, Nicodemus, and inject life into it. Plant life into it. And that heart will again start to beat, and you will become alive to spiritual things. It's what Ephesians 2 said. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, he made alive. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. The wind blows where it wishes. We hear the sound of it. Cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So are all of those who are born by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the powerful word of God that's heard, and he injects life into that heart. It begins to beat. It begins to see things as God has defined them. It begins to feel the misery of its sin. It asks the question, what must I do to be saved? And what is the answer given? Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program. We humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi there. I'm Pastor Ryan DeYoung from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. If you appreciate the doctrines of grace as heard on this program and you live in the Langley area, we invite you to come worship with us. Our Sunday services are at 9:30 and 2, and we're located at 21804 52nd Avenue, just down the hill from the Langley Memorial Hospital. We are a church that emphasizes the good news that Jesus Christ alone is our Savior and Lord. To find out more, visit our website at langleycanrc.org.